This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
It's week four of the official Raiders podcast. Welcome. I'm your host, JT. A lot to get to. The guests that we have on this podcast have a bunch of Super Bowl rings. We'll talk to the gentleman Raider, the Hall of Famer, the great Mike Haynes. Mark Schlereth, who's now at Fox and Fox Sports 1, he has three Super Bowls, and representing the Broncos, their former wide receiver with two Super Bowl rings, Brandon Stokely. Will check in with Eddie Pascal from the Raiders facility in Alameda. As we begin, we're not going to sugarcoat that loss. That was a really bad loss for the Silver and Black on Sunday Night Football to the Washington Redskins by a score of 27-10. The Redskins treated that game like a playoff game, and the Raiders, in a couple of aspects of this game, were dominated. So what do? Do you sit back and burn the tape? No, these are pros. You look at the tape and you learn from it. Jack Del Rio, all week long, has been on this team, especially the offensive line. I was shocked by that. I didn't think the offensive line would get pushed around and be going backwards throughout this game. Derek Carr had a rough game, one of his worst as a professional. 19 of 31 for only 118 yards. He was sacked four times. The leading rusher for the Raiders was Marshawn Lynch, only 18 yards. Crabtree had one reception for 7 yards. Cooper had one for 6 yards. And Kirk Cousins looked tremendous with 365 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game. And Chris Thompson ran wild for 150 yards and a touchdown. So if you could have told me this would happen, I would have guessed no. I would have said no. But it was the perfect storm. And the Raiders, I hope, had their worst loss of the season because nothing worked well. A couple of bright spots on defense, special teams, but the Raiders really have to take that loss and build on it. It was a gut-check loss for this organization, but with Jack Del Rio, they know how to put losses like this behind them, and they are a very proud group. So with this game coming up with Denver here, they're going to have to start fast. Carr needs to get Amari into the game early. Crabtree, depending on his health here, he knows how to have bounce-back games and rivalry games. You know, Aqib Talib is going to try to go after him. Last year, he snatched a chain from him. Remember that. Jared Cook could be the key this week. He had a touchdown for the Silver and Black. But the offensive line has got to come out and play very hard. And I think Khalil Mack has got to get off early in this game. The young linebackers for the Raiders are playing at a high level. And with the Connolly injury, everybody has to step up when it comes to the cornerback play and flat out play better. This is a huge test for the Raiders in the division because depending on what Kansas City does, if you lose this game, you're going to trail Kansas City if they win by 2 games early in the season. So this is a pivotal moment for the Silver and Black. I think they're up for the challenge. They get up for this game. If they bounce back, 3 of the first 4 games on the road this year. And then the Raiders get some home cooking, but they got to get going here against the Denver Broncos. I give Derek Carr a lot of credit after the game in the nation's capital. He owned it after the loss.
Again, I have to take care of the ball. You know, that's an old thing. If I feel like, oh, man, we need a player or a spark, I can do it. You know, it's like I had to calm myself down a little bit. So I caught myself there, but it sucks when it happens, and then, you know, it hurts our team. So I got to take care of the ball better, and I will. You know, this isn't alarming, but we did get punched in the mouth. And it's all about how we respond, and obviously you guys know, too, that are around us. Our guys will be ready to fight.
No doubt they'll be ready to go. No doubt in my mind, and Derek understands what the division is all about and these division games. You win on the road in this division, and you get them at home again. Big things can happen, and the Raiders are coming off 12 wins last year, and they played Denver tough. The offensive line against the Broncos last year was brilliant. They ran them over, and hopefully they can do that again. And for Denver, with C.J. Anderson and Jamal Charles, the Raiders are going to have to do an unbelievable job at tackling because Simeon's a pretty good quarterback when he has time. If you can get to him early in a game and get him off his mark, he's a really good athlete. He could run outside the pocket. I think the linebackers and the corners are going to have a big game. So enough of the loss to the Redskins. Everybody focused on the Denver Broncos coming up this Sunday. Joining us, a man who played for the Denver Broncos and had a great run with them. He's now at Fox and Fox Sports 1. We welcome Mark Schlereth to the official Raiders podcast. Mark, thanks for coming on. Were you more shocked by the Raiders' loss or the Broncos' loss to the Buffalo Bills?
More shocked about the Raiders and the way they played. Derek Carr only having 118 yards passing, a couple of picks. I was really shocked. You know, I just expect the Raiders to dominate the line of scrimmage. I expect their offensive line to dominate the line of scrimmage. And when they get beat up like they got beat up, I mean, would they have, I think it was like 31 yards of total rushing in the game. I mean, when they get beat up like that, it just shocks me. Because normally they control the line of scrimmage, they dominate, and I understand it's hard to go on the road, but when you get beat to the punch consistently, four sacks given up and multiple pressures and you can't run the football, I was more shocked. I expect the Broncos to go on the road and struggle offensively a little bit because, you know, they have some issues. Offensively, I don't expect that from the Raiders, so I was more shocked about the Raiders.
That's one of the main reasons I wanted to have you join us, because of that. That offensive line with Hudson and Osemele and Penn coming back after getting rewarded with the new contract. You know how good Gabe Jackson is. And I couldn't believe, Mark, that they were getting pushed backwards throughout the entire game. And it wasn't like Carr just threw interception after interception or had happy feet outside the pocket. He didn't have time to set his feet. And from covering this team the way I do, especially in the preseason, and watching this offensive line, I don't think anybody saw it coming. They got hammered in the media. And I think they're going to have to be accountable the rest of the way because, again, as you said, it was shocking that the offensive line could get pushed around that way.
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, we saw it in week two here in Denver with the Dallas Cowboys. Their offensive line got shoved around. They couldn't run it 2 inches against the Broncos' defense. And, you know, there are those games where you roll in and you have a plan, and with crowd noise and tempo, the defense just catches you. But you expect that offensive line to say, let's settle this thing down and let's just grind a little bit. And that never happened. And, listen, I'm a Kirk Cousins fan. I think Kirk Cousins can play. I mean, I think he's incredibly accurate. And they took a lot of his weapons away, as you know, on the outside with Garcon and D-Jack gone. But the guy to me is a professional. He's a really good quarterback. So it doesn't surprise me when he plays exceptionally well. But like we just talked about, that offensive line, I expect them to dominate. So they deserve to take some criticism. And, you know, and then you've got to just bounce back and rebound. Every one of us that's ever played this game has had our ass whipped a time or two. And, you know, guilty, I'll raise my hand. It's happened. So it's how you respond to that and how you battle back. And so I'm sure they're as embarrassed, you know, they've heard it. They're more embarrassed to watch it to see what happened to them. So I'm sure it's upsetting for them. But, you know, that's this game. You got to bounce back and you got to play well.
Mark Schlereth is our guest. On the defensive side for the Raiders, Sean Smith got exposed in this game. Amerson should have had an interception that turned into a touchdown. And then the three-headed monster, when you look at the main coaches, Del Rio, the head coach with defensive principles, and then Pagano and obviously Ken Norton Jr. combined together. Do you believe, Mark, that the Raiders have enough talent with the bodies that they have from the back all the way up to their front four to be a playoff team, let alone a Super Bowl team?
I think they have enough talent to be a playoff team, but I think they're built like a lot of football teams. They're going to have to rely on their offense to possess the ball, to score points, and to not let their defense get exposed. And we saw it with Monday Night Football with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the Arizona Cardinals possessed the ball. I think the Cowboys had three plays in the first quarter. Three total plays. I mean, you've won, and you only come away with, because your offensive line can't block anybody either, you only come away with 7 points. You get a touchdown call back on a holding call. You miss a field goal, and then all of a sudden, what happens? Dallas starts to run the ball. They rip off a couple of runs. All of a sudden, Dak Prescott around the edge on a zone read, you know, scores, and the next thing you know, you're embroiled in a ball game, and they're possessing the ball. And it allows that defense to fly around and make some plays. You can cover up a defense if you don't have them on the field for a whole lot, and they can be fresh and they can fly. And that's what they're going to have to do in Oakland with that defense. They're going to have to cover it up by playing great offense, possessing the ball, and trying to eliminate two or three possessions a game for the opponent's offense.
As a former three-time Super Bowl champ, but now an analyst, talk to me what you believe the trap game is, because when the Broncos beat the Chargers in week one, Rivers had the ball, not only with an opportunity to tie the game, but win the game on that last possession. He wasn't able to do it. And then Denver travels to Buffalo and loses 26-16. So from the Cowboy game to the Raider game coming up this Sunday, was the loss in Buffalo just running into the Buffalo defense in a hostile environment, or that classic trap game?
Well, I think, you know, much like you're talking about with the Raiders, there were so many mistakes. I think there was a trap game. I think both these teams probably, there's such a rivalry there and there's such a hatred between the Broncos and the Raiders that I'm sure they both, are looking by their opponent to some degree. I mean, you know, you've got it in the back of your mind. And so I think that's part of the deal. I also think that, you know, just poor coaching. I look at the Denver Broncos. They try a fake punt on their own 31-yard line in a very tight game, and they try the fake punt not with their punt team. They keep their starting offensive line out there. And I'm thinking, you want to tip everybody and their brother's uncle, because there's not one offensive lineman in football that's on the punt cover team, you know, on the punt team. So I just was like, that's just a classic blunder. C.J. Anderson is the second leading rusher in football, and you gave him 8 carries. He averaged almost 5 yards a carry. There's another just bad coaching decision. And then defensively, you play 90% man with the no-fly zone. That's what you do. And you played a matchup zone, basically playing zone coverage until you get a guy in your area, and then you try to match up with that guy. It's not what you do. And I understand you're worried about Tyrod Taylor scrambling around and making plays with his feet, so you wanted to keep your eyeballs on him. And in doing that, you let him complete 20 of 26 balls for 20 yards or so, and 2 touchdowns, no turnover. So you completely got out of your rhythm going on the road for the first time playing, you know, a really good defense in Buffalo. So there's a bit of a trap game there, but the good teams or the great teams figure out how to win the games they don't play very well on the road. And that was one you should win, but I put a lot of that on coaching, not just, you know, some throws and mistakes by Trevor Siemian. It's very similar. These two teams had very similar games in week 3.
Mark Schlereth joins us, NFL on Fox and Fox Sports 1. Knowing the overwhelming offensive weapons that the Raiders have when they're clicking now with, you know, Jared Cook and obviously Cooper and Crabtree on the outside, if Marshawn Lynch lines up in the slot and what they're able to do with Seth Roberts, the no-fly zone defense of Denver. Walk me through a game plan here. Do the Raiders, coming off that really bad loss, need to put it back to Carr, and the only way he's going to beat the Broncos is by going up top? Or is this one of those obvious running games where the Raider offensive line is going to have to get nasty and hungry and run it right at Von Miller?
You know, I think you always are going to have to rely on that running game. You're going to have to, even though the Broncos have been great at defending the run, they were great again last week in defending the run, you have got to get into some of your heavy personnel like you did last year here in Oakland, but where you just bludgeon. You bludgeon the Broncos, you attack the edge of that defense, and then you set up play action for your guys, double moves, set up some play action, eliminate that pass rush by being physical. It's not just about running, and it's not always about yardage. Sometimes it's about attempts. Sometimes it's about getting enough attempts to wear a team down. Because the one thing you don't want is you don't want to be in third and long and let Von Miller come off the edge, or you don't want to just throw a bunch of 5 and 7 step drops. You've got to wear this defense out, because it is, I mean, it's legit. Their front 7 is great, and that no-fly zone, as you know, they can flat-out play. So to me, just to protect your quarterback and essentially turn this into a grind-it-out game, I think you have to run the ball. You have to try to control the line of scrimmage just to keep Von Miller in check off the edge.
Mark, as we wrap this up, Lawrence Taylor was my all-time favorite player. Watching him live at Super Bowl, seeing him in the regular season, I've never seen a player take over a game where the entire game plan was set up to try to stop him. And Joe Theismann said it, and a lot of legends said that when LT was on the field, it changed everything. But you know Von Miller, and now you get to analyze Khalil Mack, and I think both of them have that ability. Von Miller's got a Super Bowl MVP underneath his belt, and Mack just looks to me to be the second coming of Taylor, because what he can do as a linebacker in the run, but especially going after quarterbacks. Rate both of these defensive linemen / dual hybrid linebackers, and who do you think is going to be better when it's all said and done?
You know, that's a hard one for me. I think they're both obviously great players. I get to watch Von Miller much. I mean, I watch everybody closely, but I really get to watch Von Miller, and I see him in practice because I'm at practice all camp long. His ability, like I have not seen a guy that can dip and turn a corner. It almost looks like Matrix, you know, the movie The Matrix. I mean, The guy defies gravity, turning a corner, speed to power, and all those things. I think he's phenomenal. I think Khalil Mack is a great football player. I called the game, or was at the game when he played for the University of Buffalo. He played, it was the Potato Bowl in Idaho, and just was like, I was shocked. Like, how did this guy not go to, how did he end up in Buffalo, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, he's a phenomenal player. Love his point of attack presence, his physicality, and he's got unbelievable moves as well. So, you know, 6 1/2 dozen of another. They both make me glad I don't play anymore because they are both a absolute nightmare. And I did go up against Lawrence Taylor, and I was scared to death of him as well. So he was everything he was cracked up to be, and a little bit more, my friend.
All right, a little bit of trash talk on the way out because I have a couple of good friends who work on the Fox lot and know you, and they're Raider fans. And when a Raider fan comes up to you, what do you remind them with your overall record against the Silver and Black? And what was it like in the heyday for you in the prime of your career going into Oakland in the Black Hole and playing the Raiders?
Yeah, well, I always let everybody know that I'm a huge Raider fan because I was 11-1 against their punk asses when I played for the Broncos. So I make sure that I lay that out there, that record out there for those Raider fans. I loved playing in the Black Hole. Absolutely loved it. I loved your fans. I loved how nasty they were. I loved how enthusiastic they were. And, the Raiders were such an unbelievably talented team, and it definitely brought out the best in us. And we always used to say, man, this is one of those street fights. They're probably more talented than we are, but we always felt like, hey, we're mentally going to be tougher than them. And they were always great battles. They were always good games. And, I was fortunate in my time in Denver. We had some great teams, and we won the majority of those games. But, it was a great rivalry. And still, I still have some seething, good old-fashioned seething sports hate for the Oakland Raiders.
Last one, an Al Davis story or any connection with a legend, a Hall of Famer, or someone off the field that you're really good friends with and you never thought that would happen?
Listen, Al Davis was what a unbelievable football man Al Davis was. But I used to love when I first started working for ESPN all those years ago, I would get a call every couple, 6 weeks or so, from Artie. What is it, Artie Gigantino?
Artie Gigantino, yeah.
Gigantino. And it would always be like, hey, Mark, it's Artie. Al was mad about what you said. And I was like, my standard line was, hey, put Al on the phone. Let me talk to him. And Artie would be like, no, Al's not going to talk to you. But had nothing but respect for the franchise and for the players and for the rivalry, man. I mean, there's not enough of those good hatred kind of rivalries in sports anymore. You know, that's good clean sports hate. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing.
Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate you doing this. All the best.
Oh, you too, JT, man. Take care, buddy.
Great catching up with Mark Schlereth, who is a really successful broadcaster. What a transition he made from ESPN now to Fox, calling games as an analyst, and the great work he does on Fox Sports 1. Our next guest on the official Raiders podcast is one of the greatest defensive backs of all time, the Gentleman Raider. We welcome Mike Haynes. And Mike, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. What was your takeaway, big picture, from the loss the Raiders had in the nation's capital?
Well, I think I'm like everybody else. I was really surprised at the loss and the way they lost. The game wasn't even close. But I really, had a chance to watch only the second half of the game. So I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing. I was traveling. But when they focused in on television, they focused in on the Redskins sideline, you saw the coaches, with the scowl on their look. Like, they were so upset about this game. They were so fired up for this game. I think the players and the coaches were, their players and coaches were on a different level than the Raiders players and coaches when they showed the sideline of the Raiders. And I think that came through. Now, it could have been, because, when you start to win, you get this momentum and, it's just one thing builds and builds and builds. And maybe that's what I was seeing. They, you know, this already had turned into a huge momentum for them. They were feeling this high that they were going to beat the, you know, potential Super Bowl champions this year. And the Raiders were on the other side of that. So I was surprised. But a couple of things, you know, the defense, I really thought they would play better. And I still think they can play better. I think they will play better. There were a couple players on our defense that were just playing lights out, and I was really like, wow, man, I wish I had a guy on my team when I played. But there were other guys who were doing a good job, but in these games, you have to do better than good. You know, you got to do a great job. And so I'm expecting the defense to get better. I'm expecting the offense to get better. You know, I don't know if the Raiders had an answer for Thompson. Was that his name, number like 25?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy, he just had a phenomenal game, you know. He had a phenomenal game. The Raiders didn't have an answer for him. But I don't think it's something that can't be fixed. I definitely think that it will be fixed. I know that they have the potential. When I saw that little guy, 25, break away for a long run, I saw a defensive back walk him down like nothing. So I know we have the speed, we have the talent. We're going to get it done. I just think that they were laying low for us and threw a guy in there who a typical old Redskin type of win, mm-hmm. where they have a guy that no one knows about. He comes in, he just has an unbelievable game. Back in the Bobby Bethard era, you know what I mean?
So, Mike, one of the things I wanted to have you on to talk about was defensive backs and philosophies now, because you can tie this into the Raiders or any other team. It seems like cornerbacks either can run, they can cover, but at times they're not fundamentally sound at turning their head on the ball, or they're not good at being guys who can jack someone up at the line of scrimmage. You were able to do everything at a high level. When you see NFL corners now have a weakness where maybe they're not that good physically, maybe they have to be in zone, maybe they can't cover in the slot, what's the best way to coach up cornerbacks in this league who might be missing something that other teams are exploiting?
Well, I think that's a good observation on your part. And one of the things I observed when watching the Raider corners on Monday night is they were up in their face, but they weren't jamming them. You know, if a receiver knows that you're not going to jam him, then he release. There's no problem getting off the line for him. He'll have a game plan for that and just release. No problem. But if you're jamming him and you're taking away the outside one time, you take away the inside the next time, you take away the, both. You just get up in his face the next time. You reach across the line. You jam him real quick on the snap of the ball. You delay your jam the next time. You know, you just can't come up to the line of scrimmage. You got to play offense on defense when you're a DB, you know. And we weren't seeing that. They would come up and they would take away whatever they're taking away, and the receiver would make a quick move and just run outside or run inside, not get touched. That's not Raider. That's not, you know, Raider. That's not the great Raider DB man-to-man bump and run technique that we're all used to, and that's what they need to do. And I think that, you know, they're young guys, and they, you know, it's a challenge. You got these super fast guys and these great accurate quarterbacks who can put the ball any place. It's a challenge sometimes, but you have to feel comfortable, and the only way you're going to get comfortable doing that is by doing it every day in practice and during the games. You got to do it with the idea that I'm going to be getting better. I might get beat today. I might get beat this week, but next week I got something. It's not going to happen. And every week I'm getting better. Got to be like that. And I had that. I had great players, great defense. But this defensive line, I was really impressed with. As I said, some of the guys putting pressure on the quarterback, on the Redskins quarterback. But that guy just had a great game. The Redskins had a great game. But
they did.
You know, that you just got to give it to them. They got to give it to them.
Mike Haynes is our guest, the great Hall of Famer. Mike, interesting, Gerrion Conley, the rookie that the Raiders went all in the first round. I was on the sidelines at the Jet game, and you could see the energy that he brought to the entire defense. I mean, it was a different defense knowing that they had a young rookie stud who could cover, was physical. Now he's part of the system with Jack Del Rio, a defensive coach. What is he going to go through? Talk about his maturity process and what he's going to have to deal with in his rookie year, knowing that offensive coordinators and great quarterbacks are going to want to attack him because he doesn't have that NFL experience?
Well, that's just it. They're going to attack him, and because they don't know anything about him, they're going to try everything. You know, it's not like I'm not going to go deep on him because I know he can cover that, you know, the deep ball. They don't know he can actually go deep. And if he goes deep, they don't know if he can go where they should throw it, inside or outside. They don't know a lot about him. And, you know, my rookie year, they picked on me and I played great, you know. And so, but I didn't start out great. Matter of fact, the first game we got beat by the Baltimore Colts. And a lot of people would say I was the reason we lost the game because, you know, I didn't play good man-to-man defense. And because they were so upset with me and I let my team down, I didn't feel like I had a bad game. I just gave up this big catch, this one catch, and that was the difference in the ball game. Well, I never wanted to feel like that again. I definitely didn't want to feel like that the next week. And so I went to work, and I went to work on the guys on my team and practice. I just practiced harder. I asked them to practice harder against me, make me better. And they did. And so, you know, by the end of the season, they were saying, hey, gosh, man, you're going to be rookie of the year. You know, I definitely didn't start off the season that way, that's for sure. So just stick in there. That's all he has to do is just, if he's the competitor that I know he is, otherwise he wouldn't be on the team. I know he's going to keep working to get hard. The NFL is tough, and he's not seen anything like it, and he will. He'll understand exactly what I'm talking about once this year is over.
Mike Haynes joins us, the Hall of Famer, the Raider legend. Mike, when you lose a game like that, and you won a lot of games in your career, but when you lose a game you're supposed to win, it's a primetime game, walk us through what happens to you mentally as you get back to the facility, and then you have to immediately focus on a division game, like the Raiders are focusing on the Denver Broncos this Sunday. That's a big game. How do you put such a bad loss behind you and then start preparing and getting up for a big one in the division?
Well, you know, to be honest, you know, when you're really young, high school and college, you know, you really have a coaching staff that can help you do it. But when you're in the pros, it's really your teammates. You know, it's you and your friends that are on the team. It's talking to each other and being open and honest about different things and having some veterans and that can help you. And that's what I had. You know, I beat myself up, but those guys, hey, man, this is a long season. You know, don't beat yourself up. You got next week. You got this week. And so, you know, so the advice, I think, is go sit down with your coach. You know, Willie Brown is around there.
Yes.
You know, just talk to Willie, you know, and Rod Woodson, he's a Hall of Famer, you know, but I don't know that Rod and Willie have the exact same thoughts in their head when it comes to bump and run. I don't know if they had the same thoughts that Lester and I had in our heads when we were talking about bump and run. I know when I came to the Raiders that I learned a lot from Lester, and my guess is he learned a lot from me. But it's because we talked a lot, and I saw different things that Lester was trying that I wouldn't even think about trying. I thought, wow, he can do that. Let me try that. And it worked. And so we got better by coming up with, by, you know, being creative. How, you know, if you line up way outside on a guy, you know, not just in front of him every single time, you know, you got to move around, have some freedom. And that was the thing I think that probably helped me more than anything else was one of my coaches, my defensive back coach. He said, Mike, I've taught you everything, because we went in at halftime against the Jets in a game. And I was doing my job, but they were always completing the ball. I was supposed to be outside. I was outside. He threw it inside. He'd catch it. First down, you know, first down. So we go in at halftime, and my coach said, Mike, look, I've taught you everything I can. You know, everybody can tell exactly what you're thinking, exactly what you're going to do. Just be creative. Go out there and be loose. Be Mike Haynes. Be yourself. And that changed. It opened up the door for me. So I would be up and bump and run in the zone. I have deep third responsibility, but he's thinking I'm going bump and run. And just at the snap of the ball, I might run back. You know. And so he allowed me to have some freedom to be me. And I don't know what's going on with the Raiders. I don't know how they're coaching him. I'm anxious to get up there and talk to those guys. I was out of town, as I said. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's a lot of help right there.
Thanks to Mike Haynes for joining us. Now we're going to get a chance to talk to a wide receiver that had one great career playing with Peyton Manning, and he seemed to always play on great teams, and he was tough when he matched up with the Silver and Black. Two-time Super Bowl champ Brandon Stokely joins us. Brandon, thanks for joining us on the official Raiders podcast. Is it fair to say that you were considered a Raider hater back in the day?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It started whenever I was in Baltimore. We played them in the AFC Championship game in 2000 on our way to the Super Bowl, and that was a battle. And so we always seemed like when I got to Denver, I realized how bad that rivalry is between the Broncos and the Raiders. So absolutely. I never had the chance to play for the Raiders, so I think I'd put myself in the Raider hater category.
Before we get to this game coming up, I think your career is so interesting because a lot of guys get drafted depending if they go very high or wherever they are to bad teams. You were just the opposite. The Ravens, the Colts with Peyton, the Broncos twice, the Seahawks, the Giants. Talk about that rewarding career that you had playing for so many great coaches, great teammates along the way. You were really one of the lucky guys when it came to location and where you landed, right?
Yeah, really, I was. I played for some great organizations and a lot of really good football teams. And like you said, I had a lot of great teammates. And, my 4 years in Indy with Peyton Manning, we did some great things there. Was fortunate enough to win a Super Bowl in Baltimore in 2000 and then played for some Broncos teams and then kind of bounced around a little bit. Seahawks, and part of that year where we won the division with the losing record and ended up winning a playoff game against the defending Super Bowl champion, the Saints, with the beast mode run from Marshawn Lynch. So, yeah, it was just a wild journey, and 15 years is, about 10 times as long as I ever thought I would play. So very fortunate and very blessed to have played as long as I did and with so many great people.
Brandon Stokely is our guest. So now as a member of the media and covering the Broncos, how shocked were you by that loss in Buffalo? Because some people said it was a trap game. You played in this league, and players never fall for a trap game, but the Raiders are upcoming, and then you look at the big win against the Cowboys before that. Why was there so much difficulty for the Broncos on the road at Buffalo?
Well, it's a road game, and it was their first road game. It's hard to win in the NFL on the road, and you look at this offense, and they have four new linemen depending on the game. They rotate the left guard, so you have a new offensive system. Mike McCoy's coming in, so there's some growing pains there, and I think they were playing a little bit above what we all thought in those first two games offensively, and kind of came back to reality a little bit against a good Buffalo defense. On the road, it's tough. It's tough sledding in the NFL, and you saw that against that team. But people around here were shocked about that because of what they were able to do those first two games. And I think they were just kind of, playing a little bit better than they really were early on and kind of came back to reality on the road against a tough Buffalo team with a good defense.
Brandon Stokely joins us. Let's talk about Trevor Siemian, who at times really plays at a high level. Then you mix in a few bad throws here or there. Derek Carr had a really rough game on Sunday Night Football against the Redskins. So both of these quarterbacks are coming into this game with a loss. And tell me what you've seen being around the organization, especially with Siemian. When is he most dangerous in the passing game?
This is a guy that just doesn't get rattled. He's, a seventh-round pick. Nobody thought he would play in the NFL, won the starting job last year with all odds against them. And this year coming into camp, this organization, they wanted to give that job to Paxton Lynch. They wanted him to win it. He just couldn't do it. Trevor outplayed him. He doesn't get rattled. And he's just a player that usually makes great decisions and great reads and throws the ball very accurate and just a smart football player. He had a couple bad decisions last week, but I think you'll see that. He's still only in his second year of starting in the NFL, still a young quarterback. But I like his game. I like his style. I like his approach. And the team, his teammates really like playing for him. So I think he's a young up-and-coming quarterback that's only going to get better and better.
C.J. Anderson and Jamaal Charles. That's a good problem to have. I mean, the Raiders really have to step up in this game, and it's going to be a tough one because Siemian can make the throws, as we've talked about, but stopping the run is going to be critical for the Silver and Black. Who's playing better at this time, Anderson or Charles? And Charles is very explosive. We know that. He can do things in the passing game and has given the Raiders fits before.
No question about it. That's been one of the biggest surprises for me is watching this running game take off the first couple weeks. CJ's looked great. Jamaal Charles, I didn't think he was going to make the football team. He's a guy that they took very slow approach to getting him on the football field. They didn't push him at all through the offseason and training camp. He had a knee brace the whole time, wasn't practicing a whole lot. He had one opportunity to show himself, and that was the third preseason game against Green Bay, and he did great. And so he shed the knee brace. He looks like a different player. So he adds a different dynamic to that running game, a little bit different back than C.J. Anderson. So they've been a great 1-2 punch. It's been a great surprise. Their running game, because they're going to continue to need that running game to help Trevor Siemian. They didn't have that last year. They had nothing like that last year. So this year, it's been a big boost early on for this offense and Trevor Siemian.
Wrapping it up with Brandon Stokley, what I love with this matchup is you have the no-fly zone defense where the Raiders are going to have to concentrate on Chip and Von Miller. You're going to need two bodies on him to slow him down, just like Denver's going to want to control Khalil Mack, and then Aqib Talib, and some of the edge in the trash talking that will be going on between Crabtree and Cooper and the defensive backs for Denver. This is a big spot for both these teams because Kansas City's in the division, depending on what happens with them. If they go to 4-0, the loser of this game to be sitting at 2-2, that's not a deep hole. It doesn't feel like a must-win, but you know in the division, it's about as big as it gets.
I mean, JT, you nailed it, buddy. You always nail it, and you really nailed this one. And it's a bigger game for the Broncos because it's a home game. They can't afford to lose it. And I said today on my show that it's not a must-win. I thought that first game of the year for the Broncos was a must-win. The Chargers at home, you can't drop that one. This is as close to a must-win as you can get for the Broncos. You're playing at home. Kansas City right now is doing what, you know, everybody see what they're doing. They're 3-0, and they're on their way, and they're doing some great things. You can't fall too far behind with a division game at home. You got to hold serve, and you got to win this if you're the Broncos. And Raiders, you know, they got to come in, and they got to feel like they need to win this game also because it's a division game that both teams lost last week. So it's going to be a big game. You got a rivalry that this thing goes back a long time, and it's kind of ramped up here in the last couple of years with both teams playing good football. And last year with Talib snatching the chain off of Crabtree. I mean, it's just got all the storylines surrounding it. Jack Del Rio used to coach here. Now he's a head coach with the Raiders. So it's going to be an entertaining, fun game, and I can't wait to see it unfold.
Take it easy on the Raider fans. There are many in Colorado and in Denver. So I know you have your Raider week. Everybody goes crazy. You know, have a little bit of respect. I know you respect everybody because you played in the league, but the Raiders are coming, and they need this one in a big way. Brandon, it should be a great game. Thanks so much for your time.
JT, you got it, buddy. Anytime for you, man. You have a good one.
That was a lot of fun with Brandon Stokley and someone you'll be hearing from again as he is now a broadcaster and a radio host out in Denver. And we wrap it up by going up. Let's go to Alameda to the Raiders executive offices. Eddie Pascal joins us, Raiders insider. Eddie, we appreciate you coming on every week. Let's talk about how the Raiders handled that loss and their preparation so far this week.
Well, I think head coach Jack Del Rio has done a great job of being like, look, everyone's got bad days at the office. Are they acceptable? Certainly not, but things happen. And he goes, so at this point, we really got to put that game behind us. And you know, truth be told, they don't have a lot of time to kind of hearken back and you know, sit on that loss. I mean, they got a very good Denver Broncos team on the agenda next. And taken out of here on Saturday, flying to Denver. And there's really not too much time to lay back and kind of lick your wounds there.
Eddie, I think the offensive line was the most disappointing to me because they're that great. They have the ability to have four Pro Bowlers at any time playing their best football at this stage of their career. And I thought they got pushed around a little bit. I'm assuming that the coaching staff was on them, Mike Tice, to get that offensive line that was very successful last year against Denver to become road graders again.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you look at Sunday's performance, and I think that we can all agree that's a bit of an outlier. The team allows four sacks of Derek Carr, something that hasn't happened since 2015. So, you know, is that the exception? That's certainly more the exception than the rule. So, yeah, I think Mike Tice is going to have these guys ready to go. You know, they have a big, big challenge ahead of them this week with Von Miller. And I think they're going to be locked in, ready to rock. And I think that they certainly come into this game, this first division game, with a little something to prove and wanting to get that bad taste out of their mouth from last weekend.
Yeah, I think a win going to 3-1 on the early part of the season really puts the Raiders right where they want to be after the first quarter of the season. You mentioned Von Miller. The preparation for Von Miller is really the same thing that Denver's offensive line is going to prepare for Khalil Mack and how they have to double him or chip him with the back. And I think the Raiders have got to find a way to stop Von Miller because he can cause utter chaos.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you're dead on. You know, you talk about a guy like Khalil, too. I mean, it takes more than one guy, more than one player to kind of stop them and what they want to do. And I was actually talking to Jalen Richardson today about their responsibilities this week in pass protection. They said, hey, without giving too much away, we know that we have a lot on our shoulders this week with us and Marshawn and, you know, Donald to Marshall on the offensive line. Look, they know that they have a big challenge in front of them. And you're right, I think it takes more than one man to do it, but I think they're collectively, that group can be up to the challenge.
Eddie, finally, you see Derek Carr pretty much every day, and the division's really important to him. He understands it. He's definitely wiser beyond his years. He knows how important these division games are at home or on the road, and coming off a really tough performance, I expect to see the best of Derek Carr as the competitor. I don't know what his stats are going to look like, but he's got to come out and really have tremendous energy and lead the Silver and Black to a victory in a hostile environment.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Derek said as much today during his press conference. He goes, look, these are some of the best defenders in the league. This Broncos defense from top to bottom, one of the best units in the NFL. And he goes, but you know what? I relish those moments. I love going against these guys. He goes, I have a great amount of respect for them, and I really appreciate what they do as competitors. But, hey, I like getting geared up and going against the best. So Derek's certainly aware of what's on the agenda this weekend. And, you know, he's a guy that has a very good sense of, hey, this is a big moment for this team. You know, week four on the road, that first divisional game. You know, he realizes there's a lot, you know, kind of riding on this. It's not a must win by any means, but hey, you don't want to be sitting at 2-2 at the end of the first quarter. 3-1 sounds a lot prettier, and I think Derek has a very keen sense of how important that is going to be for this team in 2017.
Thank you, Eddie. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Perfect. Thanks, JT.
Great to have Eddie on, a great addition every week from Alameda as he's at practice and following this team closely. Thanks to all of our guests, for everyone at Silver and Black Productions. Thanks for listening to the Officials Raiders podcast. Hopefully the Raiders get out of Denver, a division rival, with a win. Get back home to Oakland for some home cooking. I'm JT the Brick. Thanks again for joining us. Go to Raiders.com for all your Raiders content. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.